This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading would be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Thus, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let us pray. My Father, wilt thou be pleased this very day to take these words home to each and every one of our hearts, that we would not be deceived in our relationship with thee, but that our hearts will be probed and dealt with by thy Spirit, and thou wilt dig down deep and lay bare the very recesses of our soul, that we may know whether or not we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, will you search out our hearts and call us after thee and deal with us in mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy is our prayer. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Shall rise to thee.
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My friend, we're praying for you and trusting that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you in this hour. And we desire an interest in your prayers, that God would keep us broken at His feet. You may humbly walk before Him, sending forth His Word week by week. We desire to put a little book in your hands that we have read this past week, and it certainly has blessed and searched my heart. It is entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial by Walter Chantry, pastor of the Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He goes in and shows that when our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles spoke of the cross, they not only spoke of it as the gospel message and the heart of the Christian faith, but they also spoke of it as the principle of Christian experience. And he goes in to show in this book that belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ meant taking up the cross personally and living for Him rather than for ourselves. I want you to have a copy of this little book. It's free and postpaid if you'll write and ask for it by name. The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. The Lord has laid upon my heart at this time to bring a series of messages on the sin of hypocrisy or profession without life. And I want you to hear, as we go into these studies, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds. Dear friend, I believe the judgment of God is fast coming upon the vast multitudes in Christendom today because of the lukewarmness and hypocrisy that is so manifest in the lives of those who claim to be followers of Christ. There has never been a day in the history of the church when seemingly there has been more profession and less practice of godliness than is witnessed in our churches today. Every form of the media proclaims the fact that more people claim to be born again, and more people claim to be followers of Christ today than at any other time in the history of the Christian church. There are more Bible study groups, prayer groups, retreats, seminars, singing and preaching groups scattered around the country than at any other time. But I would like to raise some questions right here in view of all of this. Will you listen? Where is the vital godliness and holiness that characterized the church in the Acts of the Apostles? Where is the preciousness of Christ? Where is the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit? Where are the sinners crying to God for mercy? Where are the life-giving evidences of the claims of God upon the lives of so-called born-again believers? Where is the lordship of Jesus Christ claimed and practiced? Where is the sacrificial spirit of giving for the cause of missions at home and abroad? Where is the separation from the world and the walking in righteousness and true holiness? Where is the thundering forth of the law of God so the people may know what sin is? Where is the old-fashioned prayer meeting where people meet to cry unto God for the souls of men? Where are the praise meetings where Christ is exalted and lifted up among His people? I do believe these are pertinent questions for these times, don't you? Let me go further and state these facts. We have time to eat and drink. We have time for pleasures in the world. We have time to talk and visit with friends and loved ones. We have time for just about everything the world has to offer. But where is the time for prayer? Where is the time for waiting upon God? Where is the time for meditating upon His Word and crying unto him for holy lives and godly tongues. Do not we have time to hunt and fish, and to swim and play, and to ski and skate? Time to go on vacations, entertained and be entertained? We have time to work and go to school and to enjoy all the world has to offer in the form of pleasure. We have time for television, radio, stereo, and movies. But where is the time for God and His Word and for waiting in His presence? Where is the time for God's work and His service? You know, we claim to be saved by the grace of God, but where is the fruit of the Spirit that shows we have been with God? We say we have trusted Jesus as Savior. We've been baptized. We go to church. But where is the new life of holiness? Where is the vital godliness that makes us bond slaves to Jesus Christ? Where is the love for souls? Where is the love for others? Where is the crucifixion to the world? My friend, I do believe that these are pertinent questions for this hour. And I believe you'll agree with me. You see, our trouble today is that men have been rushed into profession without the slightest bit of work in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let someone get the least concern about his soul, then he is rushed into profession through the four spiritual laws and told he is saved because he has now made a commitment. You see, a profession today is used as an escape from crisis, in marriage, in finance, in sickness, whatever you want to name it. Everything is used, and people make commitment, and it's usually only an escape from these crises. People are told that they're saved because they have said yes to certain questions when they know nothing of their depraved hearts before God. They know nothing of the awfulness of their sin against God. They know nothing of a sorrow for sin, nor of a hatred for themselves, according to Luke 14:26. Neither have they had a deep desire to turn to God from sin, asking that God would break the power of sin in their lives because they have come to hate it. My friend, our Lord warned us of such hypocrisy in Matthew 23:15, and we better give heed to it. He said unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him to four more a child of hell than yourselves." What a commentary upon present-day evangelism of rushing people into professions just to make more proselytes or to count numbers, when those individuals know nothing of their hearts, of God's hatred for sin, nor of a brokenness of heart before God because of sin. My friend, I'm not critical. I'm trying to analyze our situation today. My heart has cried unto God for your precious souls because I know where most of you are. I was there one day. Therefore, my cry has been, Lord, send us revival. Open our hearts. Have mercy upon this people, O Lord. Call sinners to repentance. Listen again. When John the Baptist came on the scene to prepare the way of the Lord, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire," according to Matthew 3. My friend, he came preaching repentance. He came laying bare the human heart before God by the quickening, convicting power of God's Holy Spirit. This is what is missing today in our churches. This is what is missing in our pulpits. This is what is missing in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit. Old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction to convince and to convince of sin. My friend, do we see that today? Are men being awakened to the fact that they are lost? I've had every damnable lie told upon me. But the thing that I desire by the grace of God to be true to, and I want to hold up to one thing that's told on me, and that says this man, when he comes, desires to get you lost. He prays that you'll get lost. And my friend, that is my prayer. And I want to wear that very well, that saying. Because I tell you why. Unless a man is lost, he can never be found. Unless a man stands guilty before God, he can never be delivered by the grace of God. Luke 19:10 tells us the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the only one whom Christ saves is a lost sinner. And so it must be by the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit. For without the Spirit's work, our preaching is in vain. Our labors are in vain. For without Him we can do nothing. Our Lord said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." My friend, we must be made alive. We must be quickened by the Holy Spirit who produces the new birth in us by His almighty power. He must make us willing in the day of His power, or we will never be saved, because the carnal man cannot pick himself up by his own bootstraps. You can't save yourself, my friend. A little profession, a little believinism won't do it. My friend, the new birth is not produced by your believing. It is produced by the power of God's Spirit in our souls, in our hearts. It is an inward work. And it is the inward work of God's Spirit. Oh, that our churches would be turned into houses of prayer instead of just a center for socializing. Oh, that our hearts would be broken before God in confession and repentance instead of making excuses and blaming others for our trouble. Oh, that there would be a pouring forth of our hearts before God, confessing our conformity to the world, our laziness in prayer, our religion without life, our profession without possession, our lack of conformity to Christ, our lack of the holy zeal and boldness which characterized the early church. Oh, that there would be a seeking of the face of God in intercessory prayer, until we would rather tear down the gates of heaven than to let God go for a reviving of our souls and the souls of others. My dear friend, this is our only hope today. A heaven-born, heaven-sent revival where men will be born of the Spirit of God. My friend, will you listen? We have compromised with sin. We have taken the road of least resistance. We have folded our sails and said that God does not want us to live sacrificial lives as they did in the early church. Therefore, we have no testimony, no vital witness of life and tongue. We have nothing but a sickening, hellish, diabolical profession without life and without hope. We see it everywhere we turn today in fundamental as well as evangelical circles. This is the condition that we face today. And beloved, we go further. The false teaching of carnal Christianity has so permeated our churches that no one ever questions their interest in Christ, no matter how they live, because they are told that if they believe, all is well, and therefore everything is well with their souls. But my friend, my Bible, the Holy Word of God, declares no such teaching, but in fact declares just the opposite. For we read in Hebrews 12:14 these words, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." My friend, a holy life always follows true conversion, because it is the life of God in the soul. Will you listen to me? A holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or it is not God's salvation. For Christ came to save His people from their sins and not in their sins, according to Matthew 1:21. a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ. Or God's purpose in saving us would be defeated, and this cannot be. For we read in Ephesians 1:4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." A holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God's purpose in calling us would be defeated, and this cannot be. For we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Again I say, a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God's will would be turned aside, and this cannot be. For we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." A holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or the grace of God would not reign in the believer's life, and this cannot be. For we read in Titus 2:11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." My friend, are you not seeing a little bit of what God requires? And how far short the professed Christian has come today? It is nothing but the sin of hypocrisy. It is nothing but profession without life. I go further. A holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God is a liar. And that cannot be, for you see, we read in 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Again I say, a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God is unholy Himself. And that cannot be. For we read in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of behavior, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Again, a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or the eternal purpose of God for us in Christ would be defeated. And this cannot be. For we read in Romans 8:29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And the only way that you and I can be conformed to the image of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in this matter of holiness. Again, a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ. Or God lied when He said in Galatians 1:3 and 4 that He has delivered us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. A holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ. Or Galatians 5:24 is wrong. For we read there, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Again I say that a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ Jesus. Or Galatians 6:14 and 15 is wrong. For we read, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." And my friend, I could go on with scripture after scripture showing you that a holy life must follow the salvation that God gives poor sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is enough to show us that sanctification is a vital part of our salvation, and that we, if we are not made partakers of God's holiness, we are not saved. And therefore a man who has just a profession of life with no fruit of the Spirit My friend, it's the sin of hypocrisy. Because I don't care how much we have, say we have embraced, or talked of, or say we are acquainted with justification and the forgiveness of sins, if we are not acquainted with the other part of God's salvation, and that is holiness and sanctification of life, then we are not saved. I don't care how much we have believed or what experiences we may have. If we are not being progressively sanctified by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we are not saved. We are living in the sin of hypocrisy. We have profession without life. We have nothing but hell still in our souls, and Christ is not ours. My friend, I trust that you have listened. We've cried unto God to give us this. We've waited before Him that He would give us this word. And we've prayed that He would take it home to every heart. For without the work of the Spirit, I myself know that all is in vain. But I believe He's been in our midst today to take His word home to our hearts. We may know where we are and where we stand. We may confess unto God that sin of hypocrisy, profession without life, if we have not truly have that holy life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you desire a copy of these messages? And the free book we're giving away with this month, The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial, then you write us and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.